sometimes it's good to grab them right away so you can kind of just course correct mentally before you hit the room. Mm-hmm. And another cool thing that I'm just going to share my personal experience because I've definitely been here. We all have. I have these little, it's like a sticker on the frames of my doors. No one even knows they're there, I don't think. But whenever I'm having one of those days, I touch this. It's a little circle. I touch it with my finger. And that just kind of brings me back to where I need to be right now consciously. It's worked for me. I've been using it since I've been in practice. Dr. Chris, I don't know if you've been, have you seen him? Yeah.
Yeah. Long before you got here, I got that tip.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a good kind of course correct to get us back to what we need to be doing mentally. You know, we've all had those experiences with the staff.
Present time, consciousness, and focus. Keep it there.
And it always wins, man. And like you just said, the patient's going to feel that vibe. If they feel you're not 100% with them, they're gonna flounder a little bit too because they look for us for direction and guidance, right?
Right.
Great point, though, man. So let's just hit a quick review here. And I know we're going to go through goals briefly because Dr. Cate's new with us. And we had a couple emails, so not 100% sure or clear how we want to do this to set this up for success. Especially quarter two is among us or upon us now, so we need to really maximize. But for a review, so efficiency of time, we talked about last time, how much time are you spending with the patient? Is this the same amount of time that it takes for you to get adjusted? And if not, if there's a difference in those times, why? Are we doing it from a more self-serving where we need to fill ourselves up, or are we actually just giving the patient what they need and moving to the next one so we can serve as big as we possibly can? The patient is buying your talent, not your time. This is the same thing. They're buying what you have to offer, not 15 minutes in a room to talk about the weather. So we really need to tighten the screws down here. So whenever we start to obviously get these new goals in motion, that we're more adept to hit them because we're not wasting time being inefficient. And the staff is going to get pissed at you for doing that. We've all got behind a little bit and the staff starts to feel that. And then the wheels start to come off the ship a little, or the car a little bit. Quarter one goals recap. Quarter two goal setting, we're going to hit that in a second. Watch your words, we talked about last time. So we want to focus on function, not pain. Don't undermine your care to your patients by using poor communication. And what I was talking about when we first started, that a couple of you guys weren't on the line yet, we're going to go through this pretty in detail because what I found with the last two clients that I've picked up is this is shooting themselves in the foot. We're going to go through that pretty good today, which is going to be kind of fun. I'm actually really excited about that. Our physical capacity is a reflection of our mental capacity. And this kind of goes back to that reading, right? The more we can bring ourselves up mentally, the better this is going to manifest itself into reaching the dreams and the goals that we have set for ourselves. How do we recapture a patient who wants to cut their visit frequency? We talked about how to keep people on track, how to keep people on schedule, how to future pace, reconnect the patient to their goals. We talked about this pretty thoroughly last time as well. And reviewing your personal goals daily, how important this is, I cannot tell you. But we're going to go through goals in a second. So does anybody need anything cleared up from the review from last call before we move on? Everybody's doing good there? Cool. Let me get a head nod, Josh. Yep. So what I want you guys to do, because whenever we first got going, we did the stats. I want to see where you guys are at. So email me those stats, your first quarter stats. I have yours, Dr. Chris.
Send them to me.
Do you have
through March?
I get the stats every month, yeah.
Okay, I haven't gotten mine for March yet.
Okay.
So if you can share those with me, because I don't think Pam will be back here for a little bit yet. She should be on vacation.
Yeah, fair enough. I can do that too after the call. But everybody, please, Dr. Kate, Dr. Ashley, I know you guys are listening through here, and Dr. Joe is going to be rewatching this, and Dr. Dustin, let's please, not for me, for you guys, let's really start this year off right based on what the numbers we already have, because when we first started, we didn't have those numbers. And now we have those numbers, so now we can actually build valid goals going forward that are going to be attainable. But then we can put the action steps on how we're going to actually get there based on where our numbers are with PVAs, OVAs, et cetera. And before we get on the line next time, you have your goals written. You're going to get just as much out of this as you put into this. So please put the time and energy into writing your goals. If you don't know where you're going, you're going to end up somewhere, but it's not going to be where you thought it was going to be. What about the new patient video? Is it scripted and everybody's done it?
We're working on ours. I have mine scripted, and we're having some website problems with the transition to a new provider.
Sure.
I know Dr. Kramer does want to get them up.
So are you talking more of the initial patient, or are you talking about the pre-follow-up or the follow-up video?
Oh, I was just talking about like the introduction videos. Is that wrong? Like,
well, it's not wrong. We've talked about that too. I know you've been on and off a couple calls. So what we discussed last time was, say, new patient comes in yesterday, how we're going to reach out to them via video, via email, and kind of just tell them, hey, we're happy in your office. We can't wait to get to start working with you. I can send you a little bit more detailed description of that too. Just to kind of get that extra engagement, that extra layer of value we're trying to build. Does that make sense, Kate?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. And Dr. Josh, I think you guys got yours done, right?
Yeah, I've got mine done. I need to follow up in our team meeting today and see if they've been sending them out. That's one question I guess I have not asked the new patients is if they've seen, because they haven't commented on that in the new patient deal. So I'm either assuming they've watched it and they're just not commenting, or maybe our staff hasn't sent it out, but they've had it for 2 weeks.
More than likely, so. It's not getting sent out, because Most times after they see it, because no one does this.
Right.
No other doctor does this. They're going to say, oh my God, it was so cool that you sent that video. Not all of them, but most of them. And so I'd be shocked if they're sending it out and you're not getting some kind of response.
Yeah. I'll follow up.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to hit goals quick, right? So who has their goals written down for quarter two?
I don't. Yeah, sorry.
This is a good start.
A couple things that I've started looking at, you know, want to have all the numbers from the quarter to really reflect on it. But, you know, so I looked at January and started, because I look at it monthly too, and wasn't getting enough, I thought, referrals in based on my new patient numbers. So I kicked it up a little bit there, and it's not huge, but over the last couple of months, we bumped it up 3 or 4 people, patients per month, that I've been able to track back as referrals from other people. So starting to pay dividends. I just got to continue to keep asking even more.
Absolutely.
That was a goal I had. And okay, kind of slacked in that in January. So I need to light the fire under it and get it going. So.
And this is exactly why we write them down, right? Because if we notice we're slacking in one area, why? What are we missing here? What have we neglected? Because all of us, we get to a certain level, and it's just human nature to get comfortable. And then when we reflect on those goals, I'm glad you had that kind of self-reflection and been like, hey, look, I need to go ahead and get these referrals, because people are more adept. They're going to want to send people in. Sometimes we just have to ask them. Right.
And something else I've needed to do also is start, and I did it years ago and it helped, and I kind of got behind again, you know, start looking at my patients during the day and go, what kind of services or supplements do we have that can help them, and start maybe jotting that down next to my schedule. So, I don't know about some of the other people here, but my mind isn't a steel trap anymore. So I need to see that visual thing written down. So helping or doing that, I think, is really making making sure I make those recommendations. And it just becomes part of the conversation in the room. Anytime I hear even to a little cue from a patient on something, take for instance, well, my kid's been having a lot of problems with allergies and things like that. And then I'll just mention up, we have a wonderful product called Dehist that has a lot of things that really help with the allergies, as well as keep the sinuses open and other things. I recommend you give that a try, because it's had some incredible results, and that's what I use for my family. And we've had incredible results with it over the years. And how old is your son? Oh, he's 4 years old. Okay, well, we have a product called Dehist Junior that's chewable, and it's actually pretty good. And as a matter of fact, my older daughter and my wife, that's the only one they really like, so they take a few extra. But, I mean, so then kids take, not because it's a yucky capsule, but because it's something chewable that they actually enjoy, and it helps with some of the allergies and sinus stuff. know, and then we can kind of roll on getting adjusted and stuff too. But doing things like that and that mindfulness is really, I think, starting to help out. So,
and this time of year is great for that kind of stuff. If you're going any kind of nutrition, I mean, you need to have this stuff pre-scripted. Like, that was beautiful. He already thought about this. He's already scripted this out in his mind. So he's already had this conversation over and over and over again. So by the time the patient brings it up, he already knows exactly what to say, what questions to ask, how to get them engaged in a conversation to get them to take the supplement home and use with their children. So even if you're doing initial recommendations, like I suggested before, where omega-3s, vitamin D, probiotics, already have that stuff pre-scripted. This is why you need them. This is what it does. And this is when you're going to start taking it, and this is how to take it. Like, make this so easy for the patient that it's a no-brainer. I mean, last month, and guys, you know I love you, I did $12,000 worth of supplements last month of just supplements. Because I know them, number one, I take them, number two, my family takes them, like Dr. Tripp, Chris just mentioned, and the patients need them. The world society we live in right now, people are deficient in those three things. Every American, no matter what age, race, or gender. And now allergy season is coming up. So if you have some allergy support like Dehist, Allerplex, Immuniplex is even really good with the Allerplex together initially. So just use what we have to really help people. Allergies suck for a lot of people. They suck. And who wants to go through that runny eyes, runny nose crap feeling if we can avoid it, you know? And we have the answers. We just have to communicate. That was beautiful, Dr. Chris. I love that. So back to goals, though. So whenever we go, Dr. Kate, more for you, because me and the other guys have been through it, but everybody probably needs a refresher. Whenever you do them, you want to work backwards, right? So go ahead and set your 12-month goal, and then you want to work backwards quarterly and monthly, right? So right now, we're obviously April, so quarter two. So at least work back to quarter two based on your collection. You're just getting going, too, so your numbers are going to be a little bit. We're kind of going to have to figure things out as it goes. But you want to have something to shoot for. Because if you shoot for the moon and you end up in the stars, you're still going to win. You ever heard that thing before? So just kind of see, you want to do OVA, PVA, monthly collections, new patient consults, and new patients activations, right? So if we did 22 patient consults and we had 15 activate, why? Right? So we can really start to get in the weeds a little bit more here. OVA, office visit averages. So for each patient that walks through your door, what is the average that they're going to spend? So that's going to be a dollar amount. PVA, patient visit average. So that's an easy number of how many times, if you get a new patient started, how many times they're going to come in. It's simple math. I can send you the stuff that we've done as far as how to break everything down. Unless, does anybody want to go through that now? I'd rather honestly get to the other stuff.
Well, actually, I have all of those numbers from the last 3 weeks that I've been taking over for Luke, and I'm seeing roughly like 30, 35 patients a week, which is like doesn't happen for new students or new grads. So I have all that information. It's not necessarily reflective of a whole month of just me, but at least 3 weeks of it is.
Sure. I mean, what we really want to focus on with you especially is just future pacing. So getting April set up, getting May set up, getting June set up, and, you know, kind of that 5% rule is what I usually use with new doctors. Like, let's try to grow at least 5%. 5%, you should grow 5% without having to do anything, just showing up. So 10% is going to be a little bit better metric. So at least you're kind of pushing the envelope a little bit as you get going. And then whenever you get, you know, 4-6 months into practice, maybe it's quarter three beginning, quarter four beginning even for you, then you can kind of do a little self-reflection plus the addition. So it's kind of, you're kind of going to play with it a little bit. I'm curious though, what do you mean by new doctors not seeing 35 a week?
It's, well, I guess as far as Northwestern was concerned, it's always kind of been taught like you're gonna have to really like work 60, 70, 80 hours a week in order to start building your practice. And so really what I just mean is that I feel really lucky and blessed that I was able to take over for Dr. Weber, and I know a lot of his patients already, and they were willing to come and see me, and I'm busy. Like, you know, I'm not the retention with the patients that he was seeing have stayed with me. Good. And so that's all I mean. I just feel lucky that I'm able to do that right out of the gate instead of what a lot of students have to do is just like start into a new practice and build from the ground up, yep. Which I'm still going to do. But but I have kind of a base already there that, and I saw them as an intern. So that was also helpful, but that's all I mean.
Sure. I'm with you now. I just didn't know where you were going with that, but yeah. So, I mean, it's always better if we can walk into a situation where we already have some kind of something to start with, as opposed to starting completely from scratch, especially during the world we live in right now, where we really can't go out and do a lot of health screenings and lectures and things that I did to build my practice personally. So it's a little bit of a struggle. Just whenever we send you those referral scripts, just work those referrals with that base, and you'll see you can grow up from the inside out, which is the easiest way to grow a practice.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. And I don't want this to be something that I get comfortable with and say, oh, well, I don't need to do any extra work because there's so many people I'm already seeing. Yeah. I don't want that to be, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Oh, you got a lot of room for growth for that number. Yeah. I mean, and you got to think of it from a service standpoint, because if we're serving those existing patients, yes, we're doing a great service, but there's so many patients that you're not touching or people in your community that you're not helping right now. And those are the people that need you, you know? So cool. I'm glad we cleared that up though. So as we go through, remember too, whenever we finish up, we're going to finish up goals, and I'm really going to get into the meat and potatoes here today because I'm really jacked up about this material. Whenever you're setting up your professional goals, don't forget your personal goals too. We need to have our financial goals for our families. We need to have our family goals, whether that's vacations or trips or whatever that means to you guys, or whatever you guys' value system is. I'm not trying to put mine on you. Ours is travel. And so we go away every quarter, and that's just kind of what we do as a family. But build everything into it, your fitness even, right? So build out your fitness goals for the year, build out your finance, your family, your fun. All that stuff should be on paper. You need to run your family. Well, I'm not saying you need to. I highly suggest that you run your family like a business. My family, I got a whole thing on a spreadsheet. It's a business. So we have a mission statement. We have a purpose. We have values. We have, goals. We have all this stuff, and it's on paper. I mean, obviously do this with your significant other if you have one, because that's going to help out a lot. But what I did is I built out like kind of the base for it, for our family. And then Elise and I just had a coffee date one morning a while back, and we kind of get the structure of it, and we get on the same page, and then we revisit it every year. Is anybody else doing anything currently like that? Beautiful. What about you, Dr. Josh? You seem like that kind of guy.
I am that kind of guy. I'm trying to get my wife on the same page with it.
And sometimes if they don't want to participate, you got to take the reins, right?
Yeah.
Did you already kind of put a baseline of things together?
I have, yeah. I've got it written up on a board right next to our computer in our office.
Awesome, man. Awesome. And it easy to revisit it when it's sitting there, right?
Yep.
All right, so now let's get to the fun part. So like I said, I've picked up a couple of new clients over the last little bit, and this has just been on my heart. This is not what I planned on speaking about today, but I feel like it needs to be addressed. So there's a lot of people that have been in practice for many years that I've started working with that don't have the practice of their dreams, and they're not serving as big as they should be, or we need them to be as a profession, right? So what we're going to talk about today is what's preventing you from growing the practice of your dreams. Some of this stuff you may have heard before. Some of this stuff you may not have heard before. So we're going to start with the easy stuff. Well, you guys tell me, let's make this fun. We got, what, 5-6 people that are active on the call. What do you think may be the biggest obstacles to growing the practice that you want?
Fear.
I got that all over the place right now. Yes. Yep. That's one. What's another?
Having a clear communicated mission.
We're about to go over that too. That's two for two. So we got a couple more. Give me some more guesses. It's more fun like this.
Poor time management.
Bingo. Efficiency, right? Nice to see you, Ashley.
Staff education too. Like your staff understanding what your mission is.
Yep. So communication again in systems, right? Cool. So we're going to start with this one. Nobody mentioned this one. How about lack of chiropractic clarity? This has been such a big topic in these last few calls I've had. It is blowing my mind. We're in chiropractic for a reason. We all got into this for different reasons, or something that happened in our lives, or whatever that may be. Some of us probably have one of those miracle chiropractic cases. Some of people just got into it because they thought you want to be a doctor and didn't know how else to do it. I mean, there's so many different ways that we got into this, but the lack of clarity is killing our profession, and it's really preventing us from serving our communities the way we need to. So if you are not sure about what chiropractic is, it's going to be extremely difficult for you to relay that message to other people. So in order for your practice to succeed, it has to be less about servicing the spines that show up. So I call it beaten spines. So less about beaten spines all day and more about what it is we have to offer. This is that communication piece, right? And this needs to be happening from right when you see that patient. When we go through that ROT, like we've practiced, and hopefully you guys are still going, and we can revisit that whenever time you want to. We're already bringing up the message, right? And we're already starting to change their mind from pain to function. They're not functioning, not because of their pain. Their pain is showing them there is an issue. This is the check engine light. So why is the function being sacrificed, and why can chiropractic help? What is chiropractic? How many people that come into your office have never been to a chiropractor? Give me a percentage. I'm going to tell you mine, but you tell me yours.
I'm going to ballpark it at least 10 or 15.
Only 10 or 15, never been to a chiropractor.
Well, there's a chiropractic school here, so a lot of people have seen a chiropractor either at the college or surrounding. It's just, it's kind of saturated here, but I mean, it's not often, but I do get them maybe like once or twice a week.
Sure. So those one or two people, we really have a great job of not having to retalk somebody's bad communication or education, right?
Right. And those
20 is lower, but obviously if you're in that community, that's a little different than what we're all, the rest of us are kind of doing.
You can throw a stick here and hit a chiropractor. And I hate saying that, but it's just, but that's our opportunity, right? Absolutely. Like we outnumber MDs and any other type of practitioner, and we see our patients more than any other practitioner. And Those one or two people that have never seen a chiro before are always our biggest champions.
That's usually how that works, right? That's pretty neat. Anybody else?
I would say just what I've seen recently in the last quarter, I've seen more new patients that have not experienced chiropractic or who have only had maybe one or two visits years ago. Mm-hmm. So I would say right now, I'm seeing more new patients who have not had chiropractic care.
This is a great point. Why do you think that is?
I think part of it is that they're in society right now seeing what's going on, and they want something different.
They know medicine's broken and the government doesn't have their best interests at heart when it comes to health.
Right.
I think that's the overwhelming vibration that we're getting whenever these new ones come into our office. I completely agree with you there. This is such an opportunity for us to really teach them how we're unique and different and how we can maximize their health and function. I love these people. Right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. Dr. Chris, what do you think percentage-wise?
Oh, probably 20. But much like Kate was saying, in our town, it's very desirable. So we have a lot of chiropractors here. I think our ratio right now is, in a town of 66,000, I think we're right now about 1,000 to 1, or 1,000 for every chiropractor people, because there's a lot of docs in our area in particular. So,
yeah.
But there's, I always get about 2 out of every 10 that have never had an experience or have just gone to another doc up the street who does a $20 adjustment and then says, well, come back when you're in pain again. So they go to them twice, not happy. So then they come here.
And those can be great patients too, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny.
They're uneducated.
You know what's funny is we're in the same area, in the same office, and I bet you mine is 50.
Really?
Like in the past 2 months, at least, because I've been kind of keeping tabs on, I love the ones that never had an experience before. They're my favorites. It's like Play-Doh. They're easier to mold, you know? But I think mine's probably around 50, which is kind of ironic, right? We're in the same place.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm getting at too, is, I mean, all the numbers aside and percentages aside, this communication and this clarity that we need to have personally, we cannot explain this to a patient if we don't know and believe it. If you're half-assed believing chiropractic, if you're not getting adjusted regularly, if you don't understand the the wellness aspects of chiropractic care, you're never going to be able to tell a patient about, hey, you should probably come in every 2 weeks and get checked so we keep you healthy. Right? So please, guys, read books, talk to us, whatever you need to do to get crystal clear on our clarity in chiropractic and what we're doing. There's too many people that try to fit this medical model in chiropractic, and that's never going to work. It's only going to blur the lines. People already know what medicine is. They already know what a prescription is. They already know what a surgery is. They usually don't have a clue what we really do, even if they've been to another chiropractor, because the poor communication. So this one, it's really stood out to me over the last few weeks. So now let's move here. So again, we're going back to communication. We're going to talk about mixed messaging. So what can mixed messaging be between the doctor and their patients, or chiropractor and their patients? Not a trick question, I promise.
I would say knowing like more of what to do, or how often they should come, or why they should come. They transition into more of a wellness or maintenance plan, sure. Or why they're coming for that, or, you know, it's just being released on a come in as needed type thing. And then you're told, you're kind of re-going through the same cycles.
Yeah, I like where your head's at. That's actually the next one we're going to talk about, ineffective patient communication. But I like where your head's at. You guys have no idea what I put together here, because you don't know how my mind works. It's all over the place. But what I'm more kind of leaning toward with mixed messaging is, so at the end of the day, the biggest advertisement for chiropractic in our office is what?
Us,
all day long. So if you need to walk the talk, practice what you preach, whatever you want to say, or whatever one liner you want to put around that, your care recommendations need to be followed by you and your families, just as, or your patients aren't going to get the message. Right. So if you're preaching about, fitness, and you're not in shape or not trying to get in shape, we need to reevaluate that. If you're trying to preach about nutrition and we're not eating well, I'm an 80-20 guy. I eat really, really clean 80% of the time, 20% of the time, I'm gonna do whatever I want. So if you're gonna say that to the patients, you better be living it, because they're gonna sniff that out. It may not be visit one. It may not be visit two.
Right.
They will figure you out sooner or later. That fake it till you make it thing doesn't work long term, right? It's a short term fix to a long term problem. So really, I want you guys all to reevaluate what's going on in your life. Are you having any mixed messages between what you're saying to your patients and what you're actually living? And if you are, where do we need to tighten the screws down there? And I'm going to guarantee you, once you start taking care of your business outside the office, your business inside the office is going to boom. Any feedback from that? This was a biggie for me in the last call I was on.
No,
makes sense.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I noticed it in my life too. When things are focused and centered and running hot in my personal life, they definitely are running that same way in the business.
It's congruency, right? It's congruency. Yep. And it always comes back to this. If you're living congruent, you're going to have a congruent practice, and those people are going to stick around for a long, 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 long time, because they know you're the guy that's going to talk about health and wellness, but you're more importantly the guy that's really living that. When they see you on the street, they want to see, hey, that's my doctor. Look how healthy he is. Mm-hmm. Look at his family. Look how healthy they are. They're thriving. You know, it's pretty neat stuff. I remember I was going to share this little story. So I opened my first gym up when I was 22, ran out of undergrad, and I was in good shape. But I wasn't completely living it, because at that age, I was still going out having beers on the weekend, staying up way too late, doing things you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't stay up till 2:30 in the morning, because my mother always said after 10 p.m., nothing good happens, right? So whenever I changed that, though, and I tightened that down, my God, man, I had one of the biggest gyms on the East Coast, just because I started living it. People would see me in the grocery store. Hey, that's that fitness guy. Give him a card. They come in next week, you know? So it's the same thing with chiropractic, though. It's the same thing, because we're maximizing health and wellness. We need to maximize it in ourselves and our families first, right? So let's go to and you guys jump in, man. I want to make this interactive, because this is the stuff that's been speaking to me and I've been seeing with other practitioners. So I want to make sure this is relevant. You guys are getting a lot out of it. So ineffective patient communications. So this is what Dr. Josh kind of brought up, and I'm sure all you guys were thinking this whenever I first mentioned this topic. Well, let's talk about that. Where do you see the disconnect here? And then I'm going to tell you what I've been seeing. This is like selling a financial plan. I'm dropping the pen here, okay? Give me something, guys. Ineffective patient communication. Where are we missing the boat in patient communication?
Well, they're not clearly understanding our message that we're trying to get across, if they don't understand and see the value of what we're putting out. Because their greatest, essentially their greatest wealth is going to be their health. You know, and I can't tell you how many times I see people invest $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 in a snowmobile that maybe they're going to get to drive for 2 months, depending upon the kind of winter that we have, or three, versus that body they're going to live in all year long. So, you know, where is the commitment, and where are we falling or missing on our part, not making that connection for them?
I love that. Where do you think this disconnect's happening from the doctor to the patient? Where do you think this is coming from?
Well, apparently it's happening at you.
What's that?
I said, apparently it's happening at you, not communicating it properly.
Well, yeah. I mean,
there are some that aren't interested, you know, some will, some won't, someone's willing. So who's next, basically. But, you know, are we making that connection with them and giving them the information that they need to make a good healthcare decision?
And that's kind of where I was going with that, right? That line of questioning is a lot of chiropractors, especially these new ones, for some reason, they're living in fear, like you mentioned earlier, Dr. Chris. And we want to be liked. We want to be accepted, and we want to be friends. You did not become a doctor to be everybody's friend and to have everyone like you. We need to tell the truth, and tell the truth 100% of the time. So what short-term implications are they going to have from this condition? What long-term implications are they going to have from this condition? And whether they choose to do anything with that or not going forward, that's not your job anymore. Your job is to communicate the information that you've been presented with from the testing and objective data that you've gotten, and make the care plan recommendations that you know to be honest and truthful. And then they figure out if they want to do it or not. And I'm going to tell you, this is the most rewarding feeling in the world, is whenever you get out of that room and you delivered a hell of an ROT and that patient signs on or doesn't sign on, but honestly, it affects your life zero because you don't have to live in that body. So what I'm finding is these guys and women and men, they're half-assing the care plan recommendations for the sake of wanting the patient to get under some type of care. We don't need the patient as much as the patient needs us, guys. They're showing up there because they have a problem. We have to relay the information of why they're having that problem and how can we maximize them, not only short-term and long-term. So what I'm getting at too is, if you're going through an ROT and this lady is super degenerative and you do your corrective care or whatever that looks like in your office, are they going to need some kind of supportive care going forward for the rest of their life? And if they are, tell them that at the ROT. Say, look, after we get through this this structural correction phase, we're going to transition as supportive care to make sure we stabilize this issue and it never becomes a problem in the future. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? Yes. Nobody's going to say no. And then it's our job to relay that information going forward. And like Dr. Kress said, not everybody's going to do it. That's not our job. Our job is to tell them what they should do. If we sit them down and we know they have a family of four, long story short, the husband of a family finally came in last night. You know how they're mostly reluctant until they blow a disc and can't feel their legs anymore, one of those guys. But whenever we first started, I told the lady that started this, she was the mother, I expect in the next 3 months for you to get your kids in here and get them checked. So I'm already pre-framing her for what I'm about to ask her in the next 3 months, right? So as she starts to get good results, as we start to get her, healthy and well, then I'm saying, hey, when are we going to get so-and-so checked? I can't wait to get them checked out. She can be just as healthy as my family. And coming from a genuine place of service and love, not because we need them, because we don't. They need us, right? So just be honest. Tell them the truth. Give them the proper recommendations, no matter if they're going to like you or not. Fun example here. This guy, Steven, comes in 2 weeks ago. This guy's a wreck. Super degenerative. nasty disc in the lower half, having a bunch of low back pain. He's been going to other chiropractors. So this is the other 50% I was talking about. So he's been getting adjusted every once in a while when he hurts. So he was I think he got adjusted like 4 years ago. Oh yeah, doc, I'm gonna be here for two visits. Okay. My job is to see what's going on, tell you what's going on, you make a decision. So who signed the care plan yesterday for 40 visits? Steven. Right? Because we gave him the information. I told him what he should do if he wants to get this thing really behind him and continue living the life that he deserves and wants. And obviously finding his leverage points because he wants to play with his grandchildren. He wants to be active and healthy for those guys and set a better example. So he walked out of here paying in full for a 40-visit care plan, decompression table, SRT, nutrition, about 200 hours with nutrition. I mean, but he was only going to be for two visits. The difference here is I wasn't scared. I wasn't fearful whether he was going to stick around or not. I was scared he wasn't going to get what he needed out of his life. So therefore I told him the truth. And hopefully this is resonating with you guys because this is such a big thing because it's never a new patient problem. It's a problem with relaying communication to the patients that come in your door. Right? So please don't be scared, guys. We need to stand up bigger for our profession. We need to really stop trying to fit in and we need to start fitting out. Cool. Any feedback from that? I know I kind of went on a rampage there, but I'm very passionate about this.
I was gonna follow up and say, Eddie, too. What I'm seeing too is that, and maybe sometimes it's happening for me as I'm transitioning them. You know, after they've gone through their initial corrective, or initial care plan, of people, if they're not following through, it's because they haven't found the value to equate to what they feel they're going to pay coming in one time a week or two times a month. And that's why if they're not signing on or they're not continuing in the maintenance, I feel there's still that value disconnect of chiropractic into their life.
I don't think I'm quite tracking you here, man. So are we talking about, okay. Go ahead.
No. So yeah. So for me, I guess kind of the back end, right? You've hit the 40 and then so people after the 40 going on to their maintenance and wellness, right? Sure. That's the part I'm transitioning from.
Sure. So what could we do better there? Because this is the easy part because after they got to, I mean, it should be the easy part. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
Because after they've gotten the result that you told them they were going to get and they feel like $1 million, how do we communicate properly? So again, patient communication that they need to be coming in on a certain frequency based on their health. Mm-hmm. What are you using currently? Are you reviewing? So the 40 visits is up. We do a report. We do a new set of films. I don't know what you do. What are you saying?
Going through their MyoVision, going through, again, the results that I've seen them getting and going through, again, hitting their goals that they've said that they wanted to get and reviewing that. And so them getting to that point, I'm just telling them, look, you've gotten to your point of what you've wanted even faster than what we'd expected. So right now at this point in time, you know, we're going to decrease your frequency because you've obtained your goals. But my recommendation right now is one time a week and no less than two times or every 10 to 14 days and give them my reason for that. But I said, this is where I expect you to be. This is exactly what I do with my life. You know, and there are times where I still need to come in more frequently, but this is going to be the best care plan for you.
I kind of see. Okay. So just a brief observation from what you just said to me, right? So number one thing I would try to transition away from is I don't tell them.
Okay.
Tell them, right? Because if you remember from our teachings is if we ask the right questions, we get the right results. So I would base it around a more Socratic method of what questions do I need to be asking as we start a transition to maintenance care? Hey, Ms. Jones, have you been happy with your results with us? Yes. Have you gotten more than you thought you're going to get out of this experience? Yes. Does this seem like something we want to maximize going forward? Yes. Has there ever been a time where you came to my office, even if when I was seeing you twice a week and there was a time that you laid on my table and I didn't find something that needed to be corrected? No. So as we're starting to transition to this more maintenance lifestyle, right, so we can keep you healthy and well for the long term and never regress back or decrease the likelihood of that happening, what do you think the frequency should be for us to maximize that result? Well, doc, should I still be coming in twice a week? No. Thankfully, you've reached this level quicker than I anticipated you getting to. So I think we're going to be okay. Let's start with 10 days. And at 10 days, let's reevaluate how your spontaneous structure looks. We not only are going to base this around what you're feeling, but how are you showing up? And at 10 days, if you look great and you're holding really well, I'm going to tell you to go to 14 and so on until we find your sweet spot. Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? Yes. Okay. So it's, if you get where I'm kind of going with this, yeah, is it's more of, we need to be asking them to get them to where we want them to go or where they need to go, because it doesn't matter what we want. It matters what they need. Right. And so, I mean, you can use that however you want. That's just kind of how I do mine. And it works very well. And, but you got to think too, man, at the end of the day, if you got a dairy farmer, it's been getting adjusted once every 4 years when a load back goes out, they still will come in for maintenance, but those probably aren't going to be the ones that come in for 4 years in a row, just realistically, right?
Right.
But I do have some. I mean, it's just going to be, those ones are going to be, so you got to take it with a grain of salt. You're not going to close everybody on the maintenance. I actually read a stat, because I do all these coaching groups, is I think the stat for going from active care to maintenance care is about 50% in the best practices. And that's where my number is probably around 60. I have a really good transition there. But think about this, even if you get 20% of your people on maintenance in a year's time, good God, man, you know, that's a good number.
Yep.
Does that help? Okay.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody have anything to piggyback on that before we keep moving through? We're good. Cool. If you use my script though, I'm taking 5%. All right, Josh.
Gotcha. Yep.
I'm joking, man. Okay, so now I want to see. I want to focus on this, because having your kind of your ideal patient, right? I'm sure you've thought about this. Who's that person or those three people that you love seeing on the schedule, that you love serving, and why? Let's talk about this really quick, and I'm going to go through what I've found as I've been working through these new, more. I don't know how to even word that politically correct, but people that aren't doing so great in our profession. And this is kind of how we get on this topic today. So who are the people you enjoy serving the most, and what makes them different? I'm going to give you what I found, and I want you to give me what you found.
Moms that bring their kids and their families in.
Okay. Dr. Josh, what do you got for me?
I have to get back to you on that. I'm working on that right now.
Okay, fair enough. See, it's most people don't think about it until it's too late, honestly. Dr. Ashley, are you going to get on the call here?
Yeah, I like athletes. I mean, I really enjoy having a wide patient population, like not really secluding myself to any specific demographic per se. But I think since having kids, I like treating kids more, but I've been an athlete my whole life, so I like athletes with more of a challenge, because they're not going to stop doing whatever is causing their pain. So
absolutely. And maximizing function is a whole lot more fun for an athlete too. I agree.
Right.
All right. So everybody else is just kind of listening. So I asked those questions wrong. Oh, go ahead, Kate. I didn't know you clicked in.
Oh, no, that's okay. I love the patients who come in and say, I've seen a chiropractor before, it doesn't work. And I always ask them, like, well, then why are you here? And they always say, because I don't want to go see my MD and I don't want surgery. And within two visits, they're like, hopping up on the table, no problem. It's my favorite. Without fail, they always say, I didn't believe it until I came here. So yeah. I love it.
Fills you up, right?
I mean, it does fill me up, but the more important thing is that they trust me. They yep. trust me. They want to keep coming back. They know that it works. They've found, and maybe it just takes the chiropractor that has the right connection with them, you know?
It's all about resonating, right? We like attracts like. I'm sure we've all heard this before. And so most times the people we like to serve are more like us. And so maybe for me, it's families right now. I like the moms and the dads and the three kids all coming in at the same time. And we're joking around like we do at my house. Like, that's my thing though, because that's where I'm at in my life right now. Before, when I first got going, I just want to see all athletes. I just want to see everybody that was playing ball and weightlifters and that kind of fun stuff, or CrossFit, or, you know, whatever that is. But it's just kind of fun to to make that impact and have them understand what we're doing, why we do it. But it's easier for the people that we'd like to serve. So this is a good talking point, because if there's somebody that sits in your chair and you're consulting with them, and you know those energies aren't resonating and this isn't going to be a good fit, again, this is where that lack of fear comes in. You need to be fearless. You need to tell that patient that, hey, Miss Jones, I don't know if this is going to be the right fit for you, but let me find somewhere that is. So whether that's somebody else in your office, another doctor, maybe that's a guy down the street, because what you're going to build more rapport, and you're going to keep serving the people that you really want to serve because you open up more room for them. I don't have a problem turning a patient away at all if I know it's not going to be a right fit. I don't do it all the time, but that one person, and we just aren't jiving. We're on the same wavelength. We need to move on so they get the care they need, right? Has anybody had that experience where they had somebody come in, wasn't a great fit, but they were a chiropractic patient, and you made the recommendation for them to go somewhere in the office or somewhere outside the office? Anybody? Nobody's done that.
I have. My first referral is to the other doctor.
Yeah, as it should be.
Right. Yeah, so that's always my first referral. If I'm just not jiving with them and I am getting this feeling, like they just either they don't care to be here. I can feel that they think that they just don't trust me for whatever reason, or they're just going to get more than what I want to can give them. They're going to go to the other doctor.
Yeah. And these people that are like that, where they don't seem like they trust you, they don't really want to do what you tell them to do. They keep showing up though. They're energy vampires, guys. They're sucking all your good energy that you could be using on other people. So it's a whole lot more. It's not easy when you first start doing it, but when you kind of cut those ties, you're going to have one person drop off because you cut them loose. You're going to have four people fill that void. People that actually fit what you're trying to get done. So never be scared to move on from a patient. I mean, it's actually a really good feeling too, whenever you know it's not going to work, to move on quicker rather than let it go to the ROT2 or whatnot, you know? But what I was kind of getting at too, whenever I was talking about what we like to serve, if you notice the people that make the most sacrifice to get in your office, those are the people that usually follow through with care the best, the people that achieve the best results, and the people that refer the most, right? So what I mean by that, these people usually travel longer distances. I know some of my favorite patients, they'll drive 2 hours one way to come in with their family every other week. I love these people because they super value the care and what we're trying to get out of this, right? They take time out of their busy schedule. They're taking all that time to come in. I take a lot of CEOs, a lot of people that, I mean, time is more valuable than money. They don't make any more time. They make a lot more money, right? So those people are just the ones that jive up me. I'm actually just making statements here. So I want you to kind of reflect on this and see who these people are. Or how do we attract more of these people? The patients that value themselves enough to follow through with the initial intensive schedule, they're willing to wait in crowded reception rooms, and they pay cash for their care. I see some heads nodding. These people are, oh my God, I love these patients because they get it and they want to be there. And it's fun for all of you guys, the staff, the doctors, everybody. These people are more pleasant to serve, they're more responsive and get better results, which I already mentioned. They hold you to a higher esteem and more willing to follow your direction, which is kind of what Dr. Josh was talking earlier. Whenever they come in and they're sacrificing time, money, whatever that looks like, they're going to follow through with their care plan because they've sacrificed. Let's see. I went through this a little bit earlier, but I'm just going to bring it up again. The people I was talking about when we first started, when we got through this second level here, the people that are living in fear, the people that aren't serving big enough in our profession, the kind of the guys I've started to work with over the last few weeks for whatever reason. Remember, it's not about you. It's about the patient, right? So don't practice small this week. I want you guys to take this information and hopefully we've got some good info out of this. I know I enjoy putting together and I enjoy presenting it today. If your self-esteem is so fragile that you have to practice small, and you're not making the proper care plan recommendations, you need to start working on yourself. You need to start working on your meditation. You need to start working on your affirmation. Start working on your fitness. Start working on your finance. Whatever that needs to be for you to be more confident and more certain and deliver the goods. Tell them what they need. Tell them how long they need it and deliver it. They need us, guys, right now more than ever. So when the doctor needs the patients more than the patients need the doctor, this is unhealthy for both. Practice big this week. Try this week, right? Don't adjust every patient on the first visit. Pick two maybe this week. They've never been to a chiropractor before. They got a lot of degeneration going on. I guarantee you when you go through their report, they're going to value that care that much more because they know that you went home and you took the time and energy to really look through what they got going on to develop the proper care plan for them. Just do it twice this week on your new patients. And I guarantee you, you'll be sending me an email or texting me and telling me that was a great idea. Tell the truth, whether they want to hear it or not. This is your job this week. Do you expect them to bring their children to get checked? Tell them that. Do you expect them to bring their spouse to get checked? Tell them that. Do you expect them to stick around for supportive care to maintain the body and the health they deserve? Tell them that. Tell them what you expect from them, and they'll be more willing to communicate with you. Ask for cash. Present your care plans this week. Tell them what they need. Tell them how much it's going to cost, and get out of the room. What I want to focus on this week is service, and I want to focus on doing it for the right reasons, and these things right here are going to help you have the practice that you want and deserve. So hopefully you got some good information out of this, guys. I really enjoyed putting this together. This is one I'm very passionate about, as you can tell. It gets me kind of jacked up. We're meant to serve bigger, and a lot of the reason that most people aren't hitting the practice goals and aren't serving bigger is because of this. 6 inches between their ears is struggling, and we got to get it fixed, right? Feedback, what do we got?
I want to make a comment that my best days of the week happen to be Tuesdays on these call days. So
cool, man.
So I just want to let you guys know that being here with you guys and taking this in this hour makes my day the best day of the week. Which means I got to work on the other 5 days, right?
It's always room for growth, baby.
Yeah. The other thing as well, too.
You know what I appreciate about that, Dr. Joss? I'm going to be very candid with you right now. I saw a ton of people yesterday. I was tired this morning, man. Tired. And I'm off today. I got a lot to do, though. I had calls. I got a lot of stuff to do. And my wife asked me this morning, well, maybe you should step away from doing those. And I told her, I was like, no, something like I just feel like I've been called to do these with Dr. J. And so hearing you say that just reaffirms what I was thinking this morning. So I really appreciate that.
Well, it's going the truth. So thank you.
Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Going off of what Dr. Josh said, more of a comment along the same lines, like I feel lucky to be here as I graduate on Friday, you guys, and this is like not, I feel so lucky to have the opportunity that I have as a brand new doctor and all of the coaching and all of the education. It's there's no price you can put on it. It's awesome. And it's going to help me be an amazing doctor and a successful doctor right out of the gate.
Absolutely. You build on the shoulders of others. I learned that when I was first getting out. You learn from people that have already been there and done what you want to accomplish. And it's going to make your journey so much smoother, so much more fun. So we're glad to have you, Kate. Thanks for sharing that. Any feedback, Dr. Ashley, before we go? I'm so glad to see your pretty face this morning.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I was just going to say in May, it'll be 11 years for me, which makes me feel kind of old, but at the same time, I feel also young. But I've been with a handful of practices with different practice management groups. And this is the only one where I haven't dreaded showing up to a meeting or an event or participating. So, hands down.
What's changed? I'm curious. What's different?
Just the whole triple P approach to things, like how personable you and Dr. J are, how the material and content is intriguing and interesting, and that you guys present it in a way that it like can be applicable, I feel like, to lots of different people or practices, no matter if you've been practicing for 11 years or you're just about to graduate. Yeah.
Thanks for that feedback. I'm serious, guys. I was like, seriously, like this morning having this conversation,